Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Cause it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. At the top of the show, we played The Cairo's Shame.
Now, Jade, I'm very, very pleased and excited to hear that we have something to give away.
It happens so rarely, Dave, that we get very excited when we've got something to give away.
I mean, any opportunity, any opening for us to spoil our strokers,
yeah,
people who have bothered to, you know, not jump off the bandwagon after request hour. I mean, you have my full respect if you're willingly listening to us.
Because it's pretty obvious that we're never going to play any requests.
Unless your request is, of course, Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child, then sure, I can make room anytime. But okay, seriously, it's good to give away stuff. Mm-hmm. And we have a rather iconic TV show DVD to give away, Jade.
Yeah, it is the 40th anniversary, Dave, of the TV series Number 96. Dave, older than I am. Doesn't happen very often. Rarely around here.
I wasn't going to take it there, you know, but you called it out.
And our lovely newsreader, Gary, was telling us that it was, like, you know, really controversial in its time. It was the first TV show to show gay couples in bed together. There was, like, lots of nudity, all that going on. So iconic in its time, Dave.
Well, I'm down for, you know, showing gays on TV. I'm definitely down for some T&A.
And also, apparently on Monday Drive, Dave, Trev and Sparks are going to be interviewing the television historian Andrew Mercado about Number 96. But I'm more interested in television history generally, like The X-Files.
Correct. Oh, well, that's your iconic piece of TV.
Yeah, that's my chapter and verse.
I mean,
television
if anyone
history, right?
has ever had any questions about what your favorite show is,
yeah,
it's always The X-Files.
It's pretty settled.
I mean, this is what we want to hear from you guys. If you want to go into the draw to win this iconic TV DVD Number 96,
yeah,
you have to be a Joy member who hasn't won anything in the last 2 weeks because we want to share the love.
Yeah.
All you have to do is just text us or email us your, you know, what's the most iconic TV show?
What
in your
is
world?
Your most iconic TV show?
Mm.
X-Files, bonus points.
You say that it's about pop artist versus character.
Pop artist versus character.
Forget what you've heard.
I do listen to strummy la la music, as I like to call it.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9.
Jade, so good to have a longtime friend of Different Strokes, yeah, Rosalind Ewan, back in the studio with us. Hello.
Yay. Hello, everyone.
Now, girl, look, I've been following your music for a couple of years now, and I'm very surprised to hear that you're now putting out your debut single.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to us about this, your decision to do this, and why'd you pick the song?
I released my debut album last year in April, Tiny Goddess, and I'm really proud of it. And so this year I thought this is a year to do a single and a music clip, and so that was really the decision behind it. I chose after the show because I think it's fun and it really represents what my music is about. just kind of a bit playful and dark at the same time.
Playful, dark, and dramatic. I mean, yeah. For anyone who's heard, anyone who's heard the song.
Or maybe no one really thinks of me that way, but...
That's just your alter ego.
That's perhaps. My alter ego, yeah.
You're Sasha Fierce. Now, look, it's really interesting that you've gone and shot your debut music video. And I heard that, you know, all the filming and everything was done, this week?
That's right. It was actually done on Labor Day. So I had Jasmine Tarrison direct it, which was really exciting. She's worked with some amazing people. Like, she directed a film clip for Angie Hart and Little Red, and has worked with Sarah Blasco before, and some really big name international artists as well, like Feist and Martha Wainwright. Again, big fans of theirs. So yeah, she kind of sold me with that, and I know that I'm in very safe hands, so we'll see what happens with it.
Now, what was it like being in front of the camera doing your thing?
It was really exciting, actually. I did a bit of dancing.
And, is that a common thing for you?
Maybe in my bedroom by myself, listening to Stan Walker or something like that. But I love to dance, but doing it on camera when everyone's watching you, it's a bit of a interesting experience.
I would say it would be very intimidating. And Jade and I had a discussion outside the studio before. She thinks that I would be born for moments like these.
I think you would be
what
born
I actually
for
said,
like that.
Dave, was you've been practicing for that moment your entire life. I've seen your self portraits all over Facebook. I know what you're capable of, and I think if the moment called, you'd answer.
I mean, yes, look, girl, I mean, if it has to be done, it has to be done. You just turn it on. But, you know, I'm with you, Rosalind. I mean, it can be very intimidating in front of a lot of strangers and, you know, trying to dance in front of a camera. I mean, that's
I almost had an anxiety attack just having Rosalind tell us about it. Like, that's how anxious
you just have to switch off that part of your brain and say, just go for it, which is what I did. Yeah. So
the song after the show we mentioned before was, you know, a bit dramatic, a bit dark and all that. I feel that, you know, through the verses, you know, there are darker verses and then it gets a bit lighter and all that. Does the video clip reflect the different tones of the song?
I think that's what we were aiming for, to bring that out. It's a bit of light and dark. Yeah, that's definitely something that we were aspiring for.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
It turns out that way. Now, look, talk to us about the single launch and how you're planning to go about that and everything.
Within the next couple of months, I'll be releasing the single. Hopefully a big party, which you're all invited to.
Yay!
And we'll be screening my music clip as well with it. So I'll be planning a lot of different activities and gigs and hopefully fit in some touring and all that sort of exciting stuff around the single launch.
For some people like myself who have already gotten the album Tiny Goddess, what's going to be different with this single launch? Are we going to get like remixes? Are we going to get like a different version of the song as well up in there? Or I'm putting pressure on you.
I know. I'm just thinking
Dave,
how to remix
Dave
it.
Is such a pop music person. Like, there has to be something else. It can't be, it can't be just what it is.
Yeah, it's just like, I know, I make it very hard for indie artists, don't I?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not opposed to a dance remix of it. So, yeah, maybe. Or maybe some live performance version. Yeah.
That would be cool.
That would be pretty cool.
In the dance remix version of your video clip, Dave can play you. And then it would just be...
I would absolutely love that, actually. Please do that for me.
Look, I've already...
Do one of those sort of, fan responses on the on the YouTube clip. I would love that.
I'd do a parody video.
Yeah.
Me in a long black wig.
I would love it. Do it.
Now, Jade, as you probably know, a few weeks ago I mentioned to you when we had Emmy Bryce in a studio with us. Mm-hmm. Emmy Bryce and Rosalind here are actually going to be doing a show.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night.
We are. So I'm the headliner and I'll be Emmy Bryce is supporting me with Michael Meeking. It's going to be at the Empress, which is in North Fitzroy.
Jade, when Emmy was in here about 2 weeks ago, we were kind of debating whether she was more Plinky Lala or Strummy Lala.
Yeah.
What do you think Rosalind is?
Well, I don't Plinky know. This is looking pretty Strummy Lala, this
we
setup
need to,
right
we need
now.
To explain to Rosalind what the definition is.
Okay, so Strummy Lala is like, you know, acoustic style, pretty like, I don't know. How would you're better with Strummy Lala.
Strummy Lala is basically anything with an acoustic guitar that sounds like, you know, it's basically music that makes you want to watch the stream go past.
Yeah.
And dandelions in the air.
Yeah. And then Plinky Lala is like, it's got
Regina Spektor.
Yeah. It's got more piano happening. It tends to be a bit more upbeat. There is still, you know, some sort of darkness happening in the lyrics.
I think she is.
I'm Plinky Lala.
Yeah. I see. Rosalind gets it. She's Plinky Lala.
I'm definitely Plinky Lala.
Making up our own vocabulary for everything.
Well, next time you look on the digital music store and you're confused by the genre, make that suggestion.
Yeah, click on Plinky Lala.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave.
This week you've been busy exploring a new app, Draw Something.
It's called Draw Something, Dave, and it has taken the world by storm. Seriously, this app is 5 weeks old, and in that time it's got 20 million downloads.
What on earth?
Yeah, and seriously, everyone is on it. You can hook it up with your Facebook. And, you know, I've been playing Words with Friends for quite some time. We talked about it at the show last year. And I have more Draw Something games going than I do Words with Friends in a week.
Wow.
It's gone crazy. And Dave,
tell us about the concept.
So simple, right? So you're playing whoever, you get three choices of words that you have to draw. It's like Pictionary. If you pick the simpler one, you get less coins. You pick the more difficult one, you get more coins. You have to draw it, no words, and the other person guesses what you're drawing.
And let me tell you, I've seen some examples of people's Draw Something things. It's a mess.
Yeah.
It looks like, you know, some
2-year-old.
I'd
like to personally apologize to every single person I play Draw Something with because my drawing is horrendous.
I mean, it looks like a 2-year-old had gone to Microsoft Paint.
Yeah.
And just vomited on it.
There are some people who are really good on it. And Dave, when I was doing some research today about it, there was like, this thing's gone so crazy that people have started developing tutorials about how to create your own stylus so you can draw better on, because they're on touch phones, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't, like, think about it. When you're on your drawing with your finger, think about how difficult it is to actually draw something well. But, you know, they've used this pen and then like a little piece of sponge and then a paper clip, and there you go. MacGyver's made you a stylus.
I mean, once again, let's just, you know, put this in a bit of context. This app has been out for five weeks. And there's already tutorials happening.
Yeah, it's so they're monthly active users. It's risen obviously from 0 to 148% in their first month. At the moment, their growth is larger than Angry Birds and Fruit Ninja, so two other apps that are hugely popular. Just insane. You know, as you go, there's a paid version and a free version. What's really good about this app is it's available on all phones, not just, you know, often things get released just in the iTunes store and then later they bring out Android. It's got Android and
now, do you think
Apple.
That's the reason why it's gotten so huge so quickly?
I think that helps because, you know, most...
You're not alienating anyone.
Yeah, what I've seen happen a lot is they'll release it in the Apple iTunes store first. And then later while they're developing the Android one. That hasn't happened. Both have been released at the same time. There's talk about maybe it'll get hooked into Facebook the way some of those other apps have been hooked into Facebook, but whether that happens or not.
Now, Jade, I want to ask your expert opinion because you do spend a lot of time procrastinating on apps.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Draw Something is one of those apps that people will go back and keep playing, or is it just something that people get bored of after a week
or two? I'll be really interested to see what happens. I've actually really enjoyed it, like playing with friends. This thing.
It's a social drawing game. So as long as you've got friends playing with you, you're good.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, not like Words with Friends. It's not, you know, it doesn't get competitive. You're not competing against your friend.
You will get competitive.
No, because
anyway.
Because the points, right? The points are about you actually. You're trying to go as many rounds with each. It's a bit more like, you know, oh, we're collaborating here. We're not actually trying to beat each other.
Mm.
Culture.
The attitudes and behavior characteristic of a particular social group.
Welcome to Different Strokes Culture.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Professional stroker, James. That boy James.
Oh, you know what? We need to define professional stroker because it does sound like a felony.
It's not rude. He has tweeted us and said, "Draw something is taking over my life. I use the stylus from my DS." There you go, getting creative. But he didn't make his own, Dave. He didn't make his own.
Okay, nobody wants to use some sort of makeshift paperclip on their touchscreen phone. It's a no. No.
It was a sponge.
Yeah, but that's just too DIY. Look, if I have to run up to Bunnings to make something, you know what? That's a sign of dedication right there. Now, Jade, speaking of dedication, we're going to talk about a phenomenon.
Human or living libraries, Dave?
Yes. Look, Jade, I mean, when I first came across this concept, I thought, what a brilliant idea. I mean, we know libraries, we know books to be a wealth of knowledge and information and whatnot. But you know what? So are humans. So are humans. You know, we know a lot of stuff. So why not, you know, hire out a human?
Sounds bad, but not bad.
Human library, Jade, is basically, or living libraries as they're sometimes called. It's a person that has, you know, chosen to be a public representative of a certain group. Now, it can be a cultural group, it can be a racial group, whatnot, you know, anything of that nature. So basically, and, you know, you guys can get more information from humanlibrary.org.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that, you know, I think some councils, some local councils organize. I know a lot of, you know, really major organizations, non-for-profit organizations perhaps around the US and UK have done human libraries before. So it's something that, you know, these groups organize. And basically you, if you volunteer to be a human library, you'll be representing, you know, whatever social group or whatever.
Are you in some ways just representing yourself, Dave? You're just telling your story.
I feel like it is, you know, but you are a book in this context, and books need to be categorized.
Yeah, and but what I find really interesting about it too, Dave, like thinking about, I was actually talking to a friend of mine from the US last night, and we were talking about the presidential candidates in the US and about prejudice and particularly around anti-gay candidates, and about how that affects people in terms of not, you know, and most of these people have never met a gay person before. They're just, they're putting, you know, projecting what they think it is. You know, how that, it's such a good way to break down a prejudice by meeting someone and hearing their story and realizing, oh, that person pretty much, you know, they've had similar experiences to me.
Correct, yeah. And that's, you know, the main idea behind a human library or living library. You know, it's a space for dialogue. It's a space for interaction. It's about, you know, creating that one-on-one conversation. You know, you can go hang out with a Buddhist monk. You can go hang out with a gay person, a lesbian person, a trans person, a Muslim person, anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm really, you know, very interested to see if my local council or, you know, City of Melbourne or anything like that does a human library.
I've heard a couple of podcasts about it too, Dave, and it was just so, it's so interesting to, I mean, I love podcasts just, you know, for that human element too, because, you know, you're getting people that are telling you their stories. Yeah, there are a lot of interview style ones as well. But, you know, one of my favorites, This American Life, is just, you know, different stories about different people every week.
People from different walks of life.
Like, yeah, and it's, you know, and there's a common theme to them, but they're not necessarily famous people. They're just regular people who have, you know, sometimes bizarre situations or sometimes, you know, just regular situations happen. And then how do you, just hearing those stories is, and getting, you know, you learn so much from knowing about someone else's life.
Correct.
And just being interested in someone else.
And I just think we as human beings, we as people who, you know, are part of society, part of culture, you know, you need to develop this healthy willingness and this healthy interest in fellow human beings. You know, you really got to approach life and people in your world with an open mind, you know, try to understand where they're coming from. Try to see into their world. Try to get to know them.
Yeah, definitely.
I personally have a curiosity of that kind. You know, I love, you know, hearing people's stories, and I love meeting people and things of that nature.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.